Good afternoon and welcome to the KXCB KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from the Palms in downtown Maryville alongside with Matt Tritt and I'm John Coffey. Another full hour of sports to talk about with Northwest Missouri State. It was a very busy weekend for a lot of the sports, as well as things going on this week with spring break. You've got men's and women's tennis on the road. Also, baseball's in action today. Just a lot of things going on right now. But Matt Tritt, I think we're first turn our attention to basketball, both men's and women's basketball. Good weekend at the MIAA tournament for the Northwest Missouri State women's basketball team. A chance to extend their season on in the Central Region tournament down in Bethany, Oklahoma.
Yeah, an awfully exciting time here for just basketball in general. If you're a basketball fan, you kind of look forward to this time anyway, filling up the brackets, watching the games, all kinds of crazy finishes across the board. But you think here, Northwest women's basketball, it's been since 2011 since we've seen this team play beyond the postseason. So to see them get out there, 23 wins on the season. They played 30 games already. They have a chance to continue on down to the Central Region Tournament. That is a pretty great opportunity. Now, we're going to see Fort Hays State for the fourth time this season. This will be the second neutral site meeting between these two teams after just playing on Saturday in the MIAA tournament semifinals. So if you're a fan of defense or just the Tigers in general, you get to see them once again against Northwest Missouri State. But I feel like at this point in the year, you really don't care who the opponent is. You just want to have that chance to continue playing on. And it was a little touch and go there for a little bit with Northwest if the women would get in, because things kind of got a little bit crazy around the region. But fortunate for the Bearcats, got the good news there on Sunday night.
Yeah, Saturday when we signed off on the women's broadcast, everything was looking really good as far as Northwest getting in, because you anticipated, the seeds to hold and a lot of things to take place in the other conference tournaments. But things kind of took a turn south there for a while, and on Sunday when we were on there with the men's broadcast, we're kind of uncertain at that particular point whether the women would get in or not, but they go in as the number six seed, and again extending what has been a very fun season of basketball for Northwest women.
They rolled in as in the previous the last regional rankings that we saw as number six in the region. They go in, they beat Nebraska Kearney in the MIAA tournament quarterfinals, and at that point we felt pretty good of, all right, solidified their spot, and now a chance to probably move up just a little bit too, because Missouri Southern lost to Pittsburgh State in their quarterfinal round game. So they lose, the Bearcats move on, Northwest also swept Missouri Southern. You feel like some other things could happen. Maybe all of a sudden the Bearcats start to climb into maybe the top four. Northwest, again, tough game, 56-49, they lose to Fort Hays in the semifinals. All right, it happens, no big deal, but feels like they're pretty locked in. Well, then, yeah, things down south start to break loose there in the GAC, as it was Henderson State coming out with the automatic bid from the Great American Conference. We expected it to be Harding or Southern Nazarene. Well, once one of those two teams didn't get it, you knew a deserving MIAA school wasn't going to receive that bid. Pittsburgh State got the automatic bid out of the MIAA, Fort Hays and Missouri Western. You knew that they'd be in, so it kind of came down to Northwest Missouri State and Missouri Southern, and as the bracket unfolded, you're just kind of holding your breath with every number, and they bring up the six, and they say, and finally, Northwest Missouri State. It's just a sigh of relief to know that the team is playing on. So, regardless of what happened, it's been a good year for Northwest women's basketball, but now they have a chance to make this a really great year by picking up a win, moving on, and just seeing what can happen. So we know Fort Hays will be round one for the women, and after that, it's kind of up in the air. Could be Missouri Western there in round two. There's a chance it could also be Harding. We'll wait and see, but at this point, it's Minnesota State or Missouri Western. We'll just worry about game one and kind of see from there.
You look, though, at the bracket there. One aspect, four MIAA schools getting into that region, and that really shows the strength of the conference. Not only the fact that you got four in, but really, deservingly, should have had five.
You'd think at least five with Missouri Southern. I think that if it wasn't regionalized, you could make a case that maybe Central Missouri should also be a sixth MIAA team making it. Maybe Nebraska Kearney as a seventh team, but because the way it works here in Division II, with everything being regional, you've got the two automatic bids going to the GAC, and then also up to the NSIC. They only got one bid, and then deservingly, Harding and Southern Nazarene got a couple at large bids too. So it kind of throws a kink into things, but that just goes to show how tough this league actually is. So Northwest surviving and now on to that next round.
Hey, you look at the men's side of things for the Northwest Missouri State Bearcat men. They go in as the number two seed in the Central Region. They have to travel up to Mankato, Minnesota, as Minnesota State will host that event. And not as much drama going into that because it was pretty much wrapped up that they were going to be in that region. It's just a matter of where, by taking care of business, winning the MIAA tournament outright. They secured the automatic bid regardless, but they go in as the number two seed. Should be a fun tournament up in Minnesota.
It should be. I think at least we're hoping that Minnesota State would have lost the NSIC tournament. They didn't, so they went on and earned that chance to host. But the Bearcats at least maybe made it a bit of a discussion of if they should host it here in Maryville. Didn't get it, but either way, got the automatic bid, secured that two seed, and will head up north now, and they'll get the chance to take on an NSIC school there in the first round. But you think about this Bearcat team and what they've done through the years, 11 straight berths in the NCAA tournament. That's a pretty special thing to do, just to make it, but to make it 11 years in a row, that's so hard. You think about where this run started, the 2013-14 team that went up to Minnesota State and knocked off the Mavericks on their home floor, turned around and played Central Missouri in the region championship on a Tuesday night, took UCM into overtime in 1 point, just a 1 point loss to the Mules. And then, of course, UCM went on to win the national championship that year, Coach Kim Anderson's final year with Central Missouri. So you feel like maybe the Bearcats have a little bit of unfinished business as they head up to Mankato, Minnesota this weekend.
And when you look at that tournament field from the MIAA, not only Northwest, but you've got Pittsburgh State and Fort Hays State getting in. And for Fort Hays State, they've been on the bubble the last number of years and just have not been able to make it in this year, able to get into the tournament field.
Yeah, you know, that's a program that's a very veteran program at this point with all the players that have been around Fort Hays State and a lot of really, really good players. Think about Caleb Hamke's one of the best players in the conference. Biyadni Yanchin's been there for so long. He's an all defensive team player for Fort Hays State. You also think about Elijah Nanabu, who's been there forever, and just the list goes on and on of these guys that we've seen. You're right, on the cusp, just trying to get in, and Coach Johnson trying to get his team in, and so they finally got over the hump. I don't think it's a Fort Hays State team, though, that's going to be fat and happy just because they made it in. I feel like they're probably on a mission right now of, we've got a lot of, I guess maybe pent-up frustration from previous years they'd like to take out in this tournament. So it'll be interesting to see how they kind of come out and handle things and carry their business. But, you know, similar to Northwest, a team that can play some really good defense despite the way that their MIAA tournament run ended. Pittsburgh State kind of came out and hammered them there. But this is a good team, a veteran team, and you'd expect them to come out and perform well. And Pittsburgh State's also peaking at the right time. So you'd like to think the MIAA can have a pretty good showing as we go out throughout this region tournament. But we'll kind of wait and see how things unfold. Obviously, Minnesota State's had a really terrific year to this point.
You know, you talk about Pittsburgh State. I think when the season started, no one would have marked down Pittsburgh State as being a team that would make it to the region. But they really have turned things around since really the end of January and had a heck of a February run and playing good basketball. And really the matchup with Northwest, they had a little bit of run there toward the stretch, made it a little bit more of a game. But Northwest just jumped out early on Pittsburgh State on Sunday afternoon. But again, the Gorillas they've got some things headed in the right direction with that program.
Yeah, on Sunday, you know, Northwest got up early, 13 or 14, and just kind of held right there. The Bearcats really didn't grow it a lot, but also Pittsburgh State had a hard time chipping away as that game went on, too. But they're playing really well right now. They've got some good guards. They've got good scorers. You know, Jeremy Shaw coming in that second half of the year and really playing really well and being a difference maker for him. Deshaun English is playing some good basketball, too. So they've got a lot of scorers. We'll see if they have what it takes to make a run in this tournament. A lot of times we see, especially in the Central Region, it's all about who can play the best defense and kind of hang in there. So we know it's a Pittsburgh State team that can score it. Can they get enough stops down the stretch to win some of these games? But it'll be fun.
You know, you look at the Central Region on the men's side, a lot different makeup as far as the women have, where the Northern Sun didn't fare too well getting into the women's region. But on the men's side, the state of Minnesota in particular, doing very well. When you look at, you've got Southwest Minnesota State in there, which Northwest faced in the second game of the season. Minnesota Duluth, also Minnesota Moorhead, and Minnesota State. So Division II in the state of Minnesota right now is very healthy.
Yeah, and you know what? A lot of those teams we've seen over the years in the regions, a lot of head-to-head competitions. Southwest Minnesota State being one that we really haven't to this point in March. But you think back to Game 2 of the year for Northwest, as you mentioned, a 7-point win for Southwest Minnesota State over Northwest in St. Joseph. That might have been the one to get them over the hump to get into the tournament with one of those final at-large bids in the Central Region. So you know the Bearcats obviously would like to get that one back in an early season loss that Bennett Sturts went off for 29 points, but everybody else is still kind of coming around trying to find their role within this team. So kind of an interesting matchup to see that one from Game 2 coming back around here in Game, 32 or 33 now.
And you look at that Game 2, Isaiah Jackson not in the lineup that first weekend, out with an injury. He's been solid ever since coming out of there. And I think talking with Isaiah a little bit earlier this year, he kind of saw the potential that maybe that's going to be the way the matchup would turn out. And he said that he's looking forward to that. So
I think so. This is a team that it's not one of those that goes out and looks for those revenge-type games, but you know that they've made sure that they are locked in and ready to go. And I think this will be a fun one for Northwest Missouri State. Again, Isaiah just a player that sometimes gets overlooked because he might not be scoring a ton, but he brings so much to the table. I think he finished with, 8 points on Sunday, but had 6 rebounds, maybe 1 turnover, plays a ton of minutes, plays great defense, and just so long and so active with his arms and hands out there. And so a real key cog for this team. And you know that MIAA tournament, you see Mitch Mascari and Daniel Abreu, Daniel being the most outstanding player of the tournament, those two joining Wes Dreamer on the all-tournament team. Isaiah's playing at a high level. We're seeing Bennett play some really good basketball, so it feels like things are kind of coming around for this team at the right time.
Yeah, it's really nice to see Daniel be honored the way he was. He's put together a heck of a finish to this season, and just one of these guys that's been a vital part of this program the last several years, and really kind of an unsung hero to a large degree, and coming out and getting a lot of recognition this past weekend.
Yeah, very easy guy to root for, just because you know that it is all about just being a blue-collar guy, not trying to be a superstar, but just fill your role. And to see him kind of go through all of that and to know that, hey, I'm just out here to help the team win, but then having a double-double in the postseason, going for 20-plus points, being a most outstanding player. They don't play for that, but obviously that's kind of icing on the cake to see all that. And he talked to us in postgame just about, for years it was watching Trevor Hudgens and Orion Hawkins and some of these guys and just trying to make them better in practice. And now the role has switched to where it's some of those other guys are kind of helping him get sharper and get ready for those games in practice to where he can come out and play his best basketball. And he's kind of turning into more and more of a matchup nightmare, it feels like, as we go throughout the season, because how many times do we see him drive by a post player or a guard? He can step out and shoot a three. He can post you up. He plays great post defense. So a real complete player out there for Northwest.
So if you look at other sports, indoor track and field finished up the national meet with 23 All-Americans. We'll hear more about that coming up in a moment as well, but just a strong finish to the indoor track and field season.
Yeah, you know, it really was. And 23 All-Americans, seeing national champions for Tiffany Huey in the 400, as well as the women's 4x400-meter relay. Kind of almost what you expect out of that event and Tiffany, just because of how well they've done, not only this year, but throughout their careers, too. We look at it, Northwest finished 6th in the men's side in the team standings. Women finished 7th. Best finish ever for the women at an indoor national championship meet, and the best for the men since, I think, 2002. So it just really speaks to not only how many people you're sending there, but also earning points and really showing out as we reach the peak of the indoor season.
And Bearcats softball opened up 3-1 over the weekend in MIAA action.
And that's huge, too, to be able to get out there and jump all over Nebraska, Kearney, and Fort Hays State. And so the Bearcats, one of 6 teams with a winning record early on in the MIAA, and they'll be back home this weekend getting set for a couple NSIC opponents, Minnesota State, Moorhead, and Bemidji State.
Bearcat baseball on the road today. They are in Topeka to face Washburn after being swept in a 3-game series with Central Missouri this past weekend in Warrensburg. Also tennis in Oklahoma and Arkansas during spring break. Yesterday they had a win on the women's side, a 4-2 win over Henderson State as they go 10-0 on the season. They're facing Southern Arkansas today in Magnolia, Arkansas. Men also facing Southern Arkansas, and then they've got matches this week with Arkansas Fort Smith and Southeast Oklahoma State. And golf, they are competing in the SMSU Invitational in Litchfield Park, Arizona. They were 3rd going into today's 2nd round, and individually Paige Hoffman tied for 1st going into round number 2 here today.
You know, not a bad place to be over spring break down in Arizona, and they're making the most of it, too, playing some really good golf right now.
Oh, no doubt about that. Again, we're broadcasting live from the Palms on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this timeout.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank. providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Support for KXCV KR&W is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for KXCV KR&W is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prenery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KR&W comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we're talking Northwest Missouri State track and field, wrapping up the indoor season now, but the outdoor season right around the corner. We're joined by Northwest Missouri State head coach Brandon Masters and assistant coach Nikki Segris. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us. And Coach Masters wrapping up the indoor championships over the weekend down in Pittsburgh, Kansas, coming away 23 All-Americans, a couple national championships, and really finishing off that indoor season strong.
Yeah, it was amazing weekend. The kids were ready to go, and we had the right type of kids that, you know, just kind of get it, and they've been there before, and so we had confidence going into the weekend that we'd do well, and they did not disappoint.
Nikki, of course, you and Brandon have competed not only coaching, but you've competed in national championships. You're all Americans back during your student athlete days. Going down and having as many student athletes as Northwest Missouri State had representing, how huge is that just to be able to maybe get a little bit of extra lift, especially some of those events coming down the stretch when you need just a little more oomph to come across the finish line?
It was awesome to have that big of a contingency down there. And, you know, with it being close down in Pittsburgh, we actually had quite a few members of our team drive themselves down just to cheer on their teammates. So being able to be a part of that loud and proud environment, I think, really gave our team the extra oomph, like you said, to really succeed as a program. So it was great seeing everybody support each other, and I think that is why we were successful. They're just used to doing that at meets, and it really, really helps us flourish at the national meet. So
yeah, we, you know, both Nikki and I have been on teams that went to national championships with very few people.
Right.
We've coached teams that had one or two people there, and that's a different environment, different experience, and that's not what we had, fortunately, this weekend. And it was neat, even when you get watching Blake compete, when he got up onto the apron and ready to go for his jump, it got loud, and it was like, that is awesome, that is why we do what we do. And it's so neat to have so many kids there cheering on that weren't part of that travel squad, that weren't part of the national championships, but having them experience a national championship, being close. Nobody wants to go to Pittsburgh, I mean, let's be real. You know, we got Virginia Beach last year, you know, and it was a very neat experience, but none of the kids got to that didn't make the trip were able to go, right? It makes it harder. So we love that it was down there because of the proximity. So some of those kids and the family members got to watch them compete. And so it was just an awesome experience the whole weekend.
How much does that increase the fire for underclassmen that didn't make it, where you know they're kind of on the cusp, they've got to do just a little bit more work, and then all of a sudden they go in and see their teammates competing. They see Tiffany Huey setting another school record in a national championship. Do you see that kind of feed off of itself?
Yeah, of course. You know, that is a big deal when you get to watch your teammates, the ones you train with every single day, compete on the big stage and do well on the big stage. We've always said this, the hardest part of the national championships is getting there. That's the hard part. Coaches, I don't know what's going on with the coaching world, but so many coaches in D2, you don't have a regional meet, you know, indoors, in D1 you don't either, but you don't have a regional meet, and so you just have to simply put a mark up early. Well, we know going in that if you get there, no matter if you're the last one in, Joel, right?
twice.
Yeah, twice. He finally gets it. We peak our kids to be great at the end of the year when it counts. Hopefully, they're already on the list and are in the national championship. But if not, you know, we've got to do it at the MIAA. Joel, he did it. And last one in, what was he, 17? 17th to 5th. You know, and it's like, that's what we do. And we coach them to be right when it counts. And we just hope we have enough kids there. So the young ones get to see that and go, all I have to do is make it in the meet. Chloe, what was she, 15th?
Yeah.
Finished 7th.
Yep.
So we have that all the time. And so when those kids, it's a realization of, all I got to do is make the meet. I got to get the mark. I get the mark. And the coaches will have us right when it counts.
I think it's a good reminder, too, of how good our conference is. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at just the meet as a whole, you know, I was talking to the multi-women about this the other day at practice. Like, woman, like, you have first, what was it, first, second, third, fifth, 11th something. I'm missing somebody, I'm sure, in there. But it was just insane. We have five of the top 12 in the country, mm-hmm. and that's across the board almost every event. So I think, too, for those younger kids, it reminds them, all right, I'm in a good place, I'm in a good conference. As long as I'm competitive, I will be there. So
yeah, that's the confidence, right? And we tell them that. MIAA is the best track and field conference in the country by far. Easy. Done. The most depth, the strongest, period. And you look at the team scores, you look at each individual event, and the kids that are coming in here and kind of hanging their head is like, oh, I didn't do so well at the conference meet. Well, yeah, it's like a mini national meet. So you got to keep working. You got to, you know, keep your eye on the prize. And maybe you're not going to be that kid that gets there freshman year, sophomore year, but maybe junior and senior year you do. And so I think we instill that in our kids to keep working, to trust in the program, to trust in your leaders, in your event group, and you know, your time will come.
Talking Northwest Missouri State indoor track and field with Brandon Masters, head coach, and assistant coach Nikki Segrist. I should probably take the cross country out there. Wick's not here today. Nikki, you talk about the multi events and the mental toughness, I guess, that has to come with being able to bounce back and not getting down if you don't perform quite as well as you think you should, because it is such a tough conference. Is it easier to bounce back in the multi-events knowing that there is, hey, right around the corner, we're going once again, as opposed to you're going out, you're running once, and then all of a sudden waiting another week?
Yeah, I think, you know, multi-events is a whole nother different animal, but even the kids who have multiple events, they're able to kind of reset and refocus. You know, we talked about Allie last week, but even, you know, you mentioned Wick's not here, but the distance kids, even, I think they're just finally excited to get back outdoor, and they had a phenomenal indoor season, and I don't know how they can handle the three seasons that they have, right? They go straight from cross country to indoor, and then now they have a couple days off, if Coach Wick is nice.
Yeah, I doubt it.
They'll have a couple days off, and they're back on the grind for that outdoor season. You know, Reese, I saw him the other day around town, and saw him yesterday getting some steeple work in. Yeah. So kids like that, even, I think, are ready to bounce back and ready for that outdoor season.
Well, you talked about the multi-events and handling the national championships, and look, a guy like Max, right? So he's coming into the meet, and he's not ranked very high. I can't remember what he ended up being, ranked 12th, 13th, going into the meet. And he runs a prelim, and he runs one of the fastest times in the prelim, gets himself into the final the next day. And then a couple hours later, he's running the 800 meters again in the distance medley relay. The guy put up a 150, one low on the prelims, just a strategy, finish, get into the meet. Top two makes it good. Had still run 151, which is a school record, by the way. And then he comes back 2 hours later, runs a 150 flat in the distance medley relay 800 leg, and then comes back the next day to run 149 to slide way up the standings. I think he's fifth again. So a guy like that, who can go into and have multiple races in a weekend and focus, and he's just the happiest, just the most positive cheerleader, just so happy he's a Bearcat, and he's transferred in from Lindenwood, you know, and so he's just loving life. And so, you know, that's the type of kids we have, though. They're mentally ready to go. Coach Wick has done an amazing job with the distance kids. Distance medley relays both scored very highly, third and sixth. Unreal. School records on the women's side by
seven seconds.
Without Tiffany and without Lucy. those girls lit it up,
right.
And you know, it was amazing to watch them do so well. WIC has them ready to go. You talk about mindset and mental preparedness, but physical preparedness. Our kids were ready to go, and they competed better than the national average, better than the people in their events. And we don't care about time anymore, right? National championship, it doesn't matter. You're already there. It's all about placement. It's all about fight and grit, and we have it.
We look at what both teams are doing right now. The men finish sixth. The women finish seventh. Sixth is the best for the men since, 2002? Best ever finish as a team for the women. And, of course, individually, everybody off the charts, too. What do you attribute the last 3-4 years of growth with the program?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the right types of kids, right? I mean, we recruit the right group. It's great in the classroom. That's not worried about working hard. That want that. They want to be pushed. It's the right coaching staff and Coach Wick and Coach Nikki. I mean, we have a great group. Nothing has changed otherwise. I mean, obviously Hughes Fieldhouse helps recruit the right type of kids, but budgets and scholarships and things like that. Nothing has changed. And you know, this team used to finish, you know, average eighth in conference. Now we're averaging eighth in the nation. It's about people. It's about the right mindset. It's about training. It's the right environment to have these kids explode on the track. It's the right people. And I think if you're bought into a program and you have the right kids, you're going to have extreme success. I mean, the men were ranked 16th going into the meet. The women are ranked 10th going into the meet, and to finish 6th and 7th, again, it's a testament that we have the right kids and the right coaching staff to get them ready mentally and physically to perform at their best when it counts, not before.
Of course, we have to talk about Tiffany Huey, 52-5-8. She just continues to improve upon herself. What do you see out of Tiffany as she finishes up the indoor and now shifting to outdoor?
Well, she's just a totally different person. You know, over the years, I mean, remember, she ran 58.5 in high school, and she was just this little scared, little, you know, timid girl. And,
that
you
needs
know,
to be what you said to recruits. We took 6 seconds off. Come to Northwestern.
Yeah, yeah. I can't do that with everybody, but that's surely a nice start. But, with her, it's just now she believes. She finally believes. I've been telling her for years, you're going to be so fast. You just got to keep on it. And her belief in the program, and now all of a sudden that confidence isn't a facade. It's deep. You know, she believes in herself, and she believes in her team, and that's what's made the big difference. Is she was so scared of this girl last year, and I said, you can beat her. No, I can't. You can beat her. No, I can't. And now she's the girl. She's like, I'm gonna win. And you know, to beat an Olympian, remember the girl from Harding, just unbelievable talent and whatever. And she's like, I'm gonna win. And it was like, that's a totally different mindset. So Tiffany is incredible. It was amazing performance.
She's an interesting cocktail of confidence that's there, but also humility mixed in too.
Well, amazing.
Just the moments after, I don't know if it showed up on the live stream. I haven't been able to go back and watch it yet. Us track nerds like to rewatch the meets, but it was just amazing just seeing her completely embrace that moment and lose control and let a little tears out. Mm-hmm. It was just awesome because it was just so deserving, right? Yep. We talk about the great people that we have, and Tiff is definitely one of them, and we try to create that safe space so that way our kids can grow, and it's just been so great to see her just completely blossom into the person who we always knew she could be, right? So,
well, I did watch the whole live stream, as you mentioned. I am a complete nerd and watch some things, and we did get to see that bit from Tiffany, which was exciting. We didn't get to see some things. I did send an email to the NCAA to do a better job on their videoing. I think we do a better job here with our group here at Northwest than they do for NCAAs. But it is good to see that. It's like it's almost that pressure release. Like, I know we're going to do good in the 4x4. I want this for me. I want this for my team. And when she came across the line, you know, and obviously put up a great time, that was exciting. But she didn't get to race how the national championships work indoors for the 400 is the top two girls in the prelim go in heat two. The number three and number four go in heat one. Well, you know, I've told the girls, make it to finals, go jog if you want, right? You know, whatever you need to do to make the finals, it doesn't matter, right? And we're going to have more energy for the next day. Well, my girls went and kind of did their thing, and with Tiff and Lucy, and you know, the Harding girl went for it. I think she ran 52.6 or something like that in the prelims, and she won by 25 meters. I don't know what that was all about, but I knew she was going to be a little bit more gassed, and that helped. And Tiffany, you know, obviously dropped the bomb in final in 52.5, and to see her just kind of melt after she knew for sure she was the winner. And the starter came up and gave her the shell to start the race, and you know that's kind of a traditional thing, and that was really cool to see that emotion and just kind of release of pressure. She did it, she achieved her goal. Now we got to reset more goals. So outdoor
and on to the outdoor season, right. and yeah, it is spring break right now at Northwest Missouri State. But Nick, you mentioned before we went on, you're already getting after it. Like, the work never stops.
Yeah, I mean, our kids are ready to go for outdoor already. A couple of them have been finished since conference, so we gave them their time off, the transition period, and now we're back to full swing, and kids are getting after it already, so it's been fun.
Yeah, it's a grind, right? I mean, we start with, you know, cross country a week after school starts, or 2 weeks, or whatever it is. We have our first meet, and it doesn't let up. You know, indoors is over. Yay, indoors is over. 2 days, let's go.
Yep.
It's on to outdoor, and we'll compete through the end of May. And so it is a grind. Some of our kids, and Coach Nicky mentioned this a little bit ago, but, you know, a lot of WICS kids, the distance kids, have three seasons. They're three sport athletes. They go. And they do cross country, and they have what Wick gives them, like 2 days off. Let's get going. Now we're back after for indoor. That's done. Now we go to outdoor, and so it's a long year. We're on all the time. The kids are on all the time. So you talk about how cool it is to be a two sport athlete. In college, you know, half our team, you know, not half, but 30% are three sport athletes, and all of them are two sport athletes. So we have that grind and have that where we really have to change the brain and go, okay, now we're not training for the 60. We got a different start and different mechanism for the 100. And that's the easiest ones, right? I mean, the 400, you stay in lanes. Yeah. It's a lot easier than the 400, the break-in, right?
Yeah. But now it's the fun part. We're adding more hurdles.
Yep.
Woo-hoo! More throws. We love it. We love it. We've got even some ladies, you know, our JAV ladies have been working all fall, all indoor. They are a blessing because they help me with the indoor meets, but now is their time to go out and chuck some spears and really show the team their contribution, right? All indoor, those ladies have been cheering and supporting their teammates, and we're just excited now to, like I said, add them into the mix and really, really get the team geared up for outdoor.
Yeah, I love that switch. And, you know, I'm a traditionalist, so I love outdoor track and field, and I don't love it when it's not warm out.
It's perfect right now.
Boy,
a little windy, but
yeah. But I promise you, some of the indoor meets we had amazing weather. It's like, can we be outside? Because when we get to the outside, then we're going to have windy and cold and March weather, right?
Exactly.
So, but we love it when it's nice and warm, and we love the different new events, and it is different. It definitely, we train well, and we do well indoors because we do have Hughes Fieldhouse. We can specifically train different events, and we can be better and sharper and faster indoors. A lot of teams catch up to us outdoors because they have an outdoor track. The weather's nice enough, they can go outside. When they're running in, you know, a small place, of a small venue or whatever, and we have Hughes, we should be better than them. So we do have a tendency to be pretty good when in indoors at the conference and national level. But, you know, some teams will catch up, and again, different events, but we're excited to really get to outdoor. I need a couple more days. Just give me a couple more days.
It's coming.
Spring break lined up really nice for me. I'm not going to lie. My kids are, like, gone. They're doing workouts on their own. You know, so I got a video of a kid. He sent me I'm doing work, and he's doing a hill run up a road with the Badlands in the background. Not a bad deal, but they're getting work done. I promise you, they're
more of a mental break than a physical break for most of our kids. So it's needed.
Yeah, it is definitely needed. But, you know, we hit the ground running for outdoors, and, you know, we have meets coming up, and we need to get the kids right for that. But we got to change and flip a little bit where we are peaked up, and now we're working hard again. So there'll be some new sorenesses and new volume levels that they haven't experienced in a couple of weeks. And so, you know, we're not going to be great early, but we'll be great late, and that's what counts.
That's right. And, and the Coach Masters tan lines
are coming back. Yeah, the farmer's tan lines are coming out.
Yeah,
we see all that coming back.
Love it. All right. The first outdoor meet, the Texas Relay, is coming up late March down in Austin, Texas. Coach Masters, Coach Segrist, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Brandon Masters, Nikki Segrist here with us on the Bearcat Coaches Show. We'll step aside. Back with more here on KXCV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Losh Optometry. Serving Maryville and the surrounding area, Dr. Ryan Losh and his staff provide patients with eye exams, eyeglasses, including progressive and bifocal lenses, contacts, and sunglasses. More information available at 660-241-5001.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Maryville Forum, serving the region for more than 150 years. The Forum provides local news, sports, and information online daily at maryvilleforum.com or at 660-562-2424. Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
And welcome back to the Palms on the KXCV, KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. Joined now by a guard from the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team, Bennett Sturtz. And Bennett, great to have you with us here on the show, and congratulations on a great weekend this past weekend down in Kansas City.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was a fun one this weekend.
Yeah, how much fun is it to play at Municipal Auditorium? I imagine for most players it's quite an honor too, but growing up in Liberty, playing in the Kansas City area, and knowing the history of Municipal Auditorium, does that mean something a little more special to you?
Yeah, it was super special playing there again like last year, and I had a lot of family there come down and watch because it was a short drive for them, and yeah, it was fun.
And you look at the championship game, you set up 25 points, ended up with it looks like you're at 3 rebounds and 8 assists, a couple of steals, 3 blocked shots. Not a bad game in that championship.
Not too bad, and I didn't play much against Washburn. I was in foul trouble, so my legs were feeling pretty good, and I guess that was somewhat of an advantage for me.
Well, you put it to work, that's for sure. Yeah. Let's talk about that championship game with Pittsburgh State. It was a game where you hadn't seen Pitt in a long time, really, almost a completely different team than what you saw them the first time around. They played some good basketball, really, at the end of January through the entire month of February, and they came in red hot.
Yep, Pitt's a really good team, and when we played them, I didn't think they had two of their starters. So, yeah, they're a completely different team, and they're one of the hottest teams in the country, and who knows, we might see them again in the regional.
Yeah, I think probably nobody would have picked them to make it to the regional at the start of the season, but the way they're playing, they're very deserving to get in there.
Yeah, Boshi's a really good coach, and he got those guys playing well at the right time in the season.
And you look at the first matchup you have, Southwest Minnesota State coming up. You had a pretty good game against them the first time around, but the team as a whole come up a little bit short in that matchup, but a lot of basketball has been played between now and then for both of you.
Yeah. We're going to be two completely different teams, and we have some revenge to take back from them because we lost to them. And, yeah, we'll be ready to go. We'll get ready this week and be ready to go Saturday.
When you look at Northwest Missouri State then as to where you are at this particular point in the season, what's been some of the biggest areas you feel this team has improved on?
I would say the defensive end. We were pretty new to it, and we didn't have much experience on the defensive side. We knew somewhat we were going to be on the offensive side, but, yeah, defense, we weren't really – playing together, I would say, and I think we're top five in statistics in the defensive end in the nation. So yeah, we'll see what this week brings in practice, and we'll get ready.
You know, when you talk about defense, again, a lot of you guys are back from last year, but every year there's kind of a newer culture, different type of things. What are some of the things that you have to do to kind of get that mentality that you have on defense that you have right now?
I mean, every year we lose players. So, like Trevor 2 years ago, then DB we lost last year, so that was huge on the defensive side. So we're gonna need to see who we're gonna fill in for him, and it just takes some time.
Yeah, and right now, you look at the way this season has gone, another successful season for Northwest with the regular season championship as well as the conference tournament title as well. Those are some things that Northwest had just a tremendous amount of success over the last decade or so. It's almost unbelievable the type of success that you've had, not only just from the standpoint of any conference, but when you factor in it's the MIAA and the type of Division II basketball is played in this conference, those are a couple of things you can really hang your head on.
Yeah, and I got to give credit to our coaches. They put us in the best position possible to succeed, and they work really hard to put us in that position. And we just feed off them, and we've been fortunate.
What's been the biggest difference for you, season two as opposed to season one, coming in as a true freshman?
I would say probably I had to play more of a role on the offensive end, losing DB. He was our leader. And, we lost a lot of offense with him gone. So just being more of a leader on the offensive end and getting my team going in these games.
I really feel like the last month of the season, and you've had a good year all through the year, but it just seems like this last month you've kind of taken up another notch here during the month of February.
Yeah, I'm just trying to do my role, trying to help my team out. Just be unselfish and just help my team out, win some games.
Well, you've won a few games, yeah. That's for sure. Looking into the regional coming up, first time for you to be on the road in the region since Northwest hosted a year ago, but this seems to be a team that doesn't matter if you're home or away, you just enjoy playing the game of basketball and being together.
Yeah, this group of guys is super fun to be around, and being on the road will be super fun, make some memories, and I don't think we've lost up there in a regional, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Well, there's one game up there. Lost there, I think. To Central Missouri back in 14, I believe, something like that.
Gotcha.
And that when Central went on and won the national title that year. But,
gotcha.
It is a great venue to play in, and of course, you know that there'll be a lot of Bearcat fans in the stands there as well. They just seem to, doesn't matter where you guys are playing,
yep.
You got a pretty good.
There's some great fans.
All right. Well, again, Bennett, thanks a lot for being with us here on the show, and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Again, Bennett Sertz with us here on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, Northwest Missouri State Men's Basketball on the road this weekend as they compete in the Central Regional up in Mankato, Minnesota. We'll be back. We've got more coming up right after this timeout. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Northwest Cell, located at 1218 South Main in Maryville. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell carries a full line of iPhones, iPads, and Androids. More information on plans and devices is at nwmcell.com.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from Twaddle Realty. Whether it's residential, commercial, or a farm property, broker Brian Twaddle can list it and market it through custom 3D virtual tours, pictures, and more. For information on all listings in the Maryville area, 562-7562 or online at twaddlerealty.com.
Underwriting for this program is provided by Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More information available at tristatefordlincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery located on 4th Street in Maryville. The Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear as well as custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout Bearcat Nation.
Support for KXEV, KLRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the Palms of downtown Maryville. Talking with Northwest Missouri State Bearcat head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer. Coach Meyer, heading into the NCAA tournament for the first time as a head coach, the Bearcat women 23-7. They wrapped up the conference slate with a 16-6 record, made it into the MIAA tournament semifinals, wrapped things up in the MIAA tournament against Fort Hays State on Saturday. And Coach Meyer, now you get to see Fort Hays State once again. And talking with John as we kind of got the show going, I assume at this point it's more about, let's just get in and play somebody. We don't care who's on the other side, but it is just round four against the Tigers.
Yeah, and half the region's MIAA team, so you know there's a pretty good chance you're gonna play one. Probably would have had five in if the GAC didn't get that automatic bid there on Sunday. So I think just getting in, giving yourself a chance to go compete. Obviously, at this point, especially with our region, everybody's really good. We told our team after the selection show, you know, if this was Division One, you'd be sitting there on Sunday. You know you're in. You're probably a 3-6 seed in some region, but Division Two-wise, the way it is, we're sweating on Sunday not knowing if we're going to get in. But, it was good to get that call.
And there's a potential, too, if it's more of a Division One setup, that all of a sudden you're also seeing Central Missouri sneak in somewhere and Missouri Southern. Maybe Nebraska Kearney gets a late bid, too. It's very different, the regionalization of Division Two athletics. Have you spoke at all to Coach Russell? Do you do anything like that, or is it just one of those of, obviously, he's kind of got his own emotions right now?
Yeah, I haven't, but, I mean, you look at their resume, you know, they had zero bad losses, as you would look on the committee. They had a really good strength of schedule. They finished, tied for second, I guess, record-wise, in the MIAA, and they don't make the tournament. So, yeah, and we saw it last year with Missouri Western was 18-4 something in our league and didn't get in. It is what it is, I guess. That's the quote, right? It is what it is. You can't really control it. I told our team when we were sitting there Sunday, there was a non-official one that came out or something that had us not in. And mm-hmm. So, of course, you're looking at stuff and could have maybe made some phone calls. Hey, what are you guys hearing? But I just said, hey, I'm gonna know when you guys know. We got to be prepared for if we don't get in, when they walk through the door. So we had them put their phones away, and it was pretty cool.
How much was the heart racing at that point as the bracket got down to number six? They didn't have it filled in yet.
Yeah, I put my phone down too, but I have an Apple Watch. And I instinctively, it buzzed, and I just instinctively looked at it, and somebody had said, congrats, well-deserved. And so I knew, 2 minutes, 3 minutes before. So I was just kind of sat back and exhaled, and then I just kind of watched. And I'm like, is somebody else looking at their phone? Do they know? And then, we were all joking afterwards that they really didn't know. So there's not a lot of surprises in life. But that was a good one there.
It was a very pure emotional reaction out of the team. That's very cool to see. You've played in it as a men's basketball player in the early 2000s under Coach Tatmeyer. You've coached in it under Ben McCollum. First time as a head coach. Obviously, we're kind of at the point where you're kind of gearing up for Fort Hays. Do you take a moment on Sunday to kind of just let it all wash over you?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard just coming off the conference tournament and all the scouting you're doing, and then getting back late, and then just being stressed out for 6 hours or whatever it was. And it was late and kind of tired, and went home, went to bed, and then I guess slept in a little bit on Monday and kind of sent some text messages back and things like that. But yeah, no, I mean, there was a quick time for reflection before we got back into it yesterday.
Getting set for Fort Hays State, of course, just talking with some newspaper in St. Joe Media just across the room here during our media luncheons at the Palms in downtown Maryville. But they're talking about it. You've seen Fort Hays before. You know the scout. You've been around this team. How much does change whenever you just saw this team less than a week ago?
Yeah, I don't think it changes a lot. You know, I think it's I was kind of joking to guess, it's kind of nice to not have to watch 10 games of Southern Naz or Harding or somebody you haven't seen at all this year. Obviously, it's the same for them. They know us top to bottom. They know everything we're going to do. We know everything they're going to do. So it was going back and watching the film, and we were pretty good defensively. We made some bad decisions from just a playmaking standpoint and driving into crowds and not playing off 2 feet. A big difference in that game, we talked about the scouting report. Salek, for them, their 6'2 post player, is shooting at pretty high level. So being out there and contesting her just isn't good enough, and we didn't completely take her shot away, and she hit 4 of them in the game, and you eliminate that, we win that game. So there's a few things here and there. We'll put in a couple different wrinkles, but I'm a believer in if you sit here and you try to super coach it and put 10 different things in, you're only going to hurt your team. Our team, we want them to play free. We want their minds clear, so we don't want to just overwhelm them with a bunch of information.
How much of this is, all right, the experience, let's go down to Oklahoma City, let's take all this in and enjoy it, but also being able to have it buttoned up, a business trip, and making sure everybody's not just happy with getting that berth on Sunday.
Yeah, we want to go down there to compete and win. And I think our team, experienced team, they've done that all year. Just have really felt, even though we didn't win on Saturday, you just can feel going into the UNK game, going into the Hayes game, there's just a confidence level that I haven't felt in this program since I've been here. And it's been really cool to see just the I guess I call it swag. The swag and confidence they play with. So, yeah, we're going to keep it pretty routine. I mean, we check to see if we can go watch an Oklahoma City Thunder game, something like that. But, you know, we're going to keep it routine, practice, limited on the floor, and then just kind of do what we do, make fun of each other, joke around on the bus rides and restaurants, and enjoy the time.
Bearcats taking on Fort Hays State down at Southern Nazarene in Bethany, Oklahoma, coming up at noon on Friday. Coach Meyer, thanks for the time. Safe travels, and we'll talk to you in Oklahoma.
We'll see you there.
That's Northwest Missouri State head women's basketball coach Austin Meyer. We will take a break and be back with more here on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for KXCV, KRNW comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations at usbank.com.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by Consumers Oil Company in Maryville. Consumers Oil carries a full line of feeds from Purina and Land O'Lakes, along with gates, water tanks, and bulk bins to fit a variety of needs. More information at consumersoilmaryville.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information is available at bearcatsports.com.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest Missouri community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Prinery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the Palms on Buchanan Street in Maryville. The Palms is open with a menu featuring burgers, sandwiches, and wraps, beer on tap, and a large dining area. The Palms, new ownership, but the same Maryville tradition.
Welcome back into the Palms in downtown Maryville, the KXCV KLRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We are talking Northwest Missouri State softball. We have head coach Naomi Tellez, as well as a pair of seniors, Breck Dickey and Sophie Mayhew. Appreciate you guys coming on and talking with us today. And coach, congratulations. Got things rolling there in MIAA play. A 3-1 weekend, taking down Fort Hays and Nebraska Kearney. And kind of what we talked about last week, this is what you want to see, that springboard into the conference season.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I think, you know, we can look back on the weekend and say we had overall a great weekend. I mean, I think game two on Saturday is still a little bitter for us because we knew we had chances to win there. But overall, yeah, you can't complain about 3-1 in conference.
Breck, we spoke with Coach last week just about how the pitching was kind of coming around. And then this week, through four games, a total of 3 earned runs. What is working right now for this team?
We all were working hard. I think defense was a big thing. Outfielders were making great plays, and so that just kind of kept the momentum rolling. And then we also had offense pick it up a little bit this weekend, too. So, yeah, it was all in all. And we were home. So
that has to help, right?
That does help, yeah.
Sophie, how much was that home cooking a big deal for this team? You guys have been on the road. You've headed down south. You've been in Kansas. You've been a little bit of everywhere. But finally opening up MIAA play on your home field had to be pretty nice.
Yeah, it was super nice. I think that it just kind of gave us a confidence boost that we needed going into the weekend. Just being on our home field and, you know, to our advantage, we knew what the wind was going to be like, how our dirt plays, all that kind of stuff. So it was definitely helpful.
Now, Coach, of course, this was supposed to be a Friday, Saturday, with the weather wreaking some havoc there, too, shifting things back. But field conditions, everything played well, and obviously it resulted okay for your team.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, I think Saturday was a little chilly early on, but after that it was fine. And then Sunday, I think we are almost a little toasty that day. So
just almost a little
almost
toasty.
There. We're almost there.
Breck, you got things rolling against Nebraska Kearney in that opener. 7 innings, 1 earned run. You strike out 14, walk just 6. Take us through what was working there.
So, yeah, to start the game off, I was a little excited to play, and so I was pitching a little high, got a little excited. But once I found the strike zone, that helped. You know, umpire strike zone helped, and we were just rolling. And honestly, I was a bit upset that I let that one run score because I didn't get pitcher batting practice for us pitchers. So I think that helped ignite a little bit extra fire. But, yeah, I mean, outfield did great too. And then, yeah, we were just rolling.
So you walk 2 in the first. They get a single, one run comes across. Mm-hmm. Second inning, they put 2 on once again. You've got runners in scoring position. and then you get a strikeout to end the inning. How much did that just kind of lock you in of, all right, I've been in this situation, no big deal, I'm going to go ahead and just attack?
Right, yeah. I kept telling myself, you know, next inning we're not going to have any batters on base. But I think Coach, you know, she kind of cheers on me, and she's like, hey, get that foot down, or, you know, something like spin through the middle of the zone. And so I was like, oh, yeah, like, let's just do that and trust it and, yeah, make them hit.
Is that just part of being an upperclassman, too, of – all right, put a couple runners on, you're not freaking out, you lock in, and it's all about just, hey, let's limit the damage and allow the bats to have a chance to come back.
Right, yeah. I think just trusting my spin and then knowing that I, like, they didn't get on by themselves. It was me that put them on base, so I knew that I could get out of that position because they hadn't done any damage yet. So,
Sophie, whenever you do have pitchers like this that are working, how much is that nice – on the hitting side of things, too, to where you can kind of sit back and maybe the first couple innings they put up some zeros, but then you can kind of come around and help these pitchers out, get them a lead, and kind of push on from there.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, pitching is just extremely hard, and I think that it's a big thing for our pitchers to be able to rely on not only our offense but our defense, not be afraid to pound the strike zone and let them hit, let our defense play. But on the other side of that offense, you know, we can't win games if we don't hit or score. And so I think that, I mean, it's just the true definition of a team sport. You know, a pitcher can't win a game and an offense can't win a game by themselves. So we got to work together.
You've been with the program now, I think, what, now 3 years? Northwest 12-10, 3-1 in conference play. We're still very early on in the season. A lot of softball left to be played. But how does this team feel for you, and how does this feel a little bit different? We are starting to see everything kind of come together right now.
Yeah, when I came in my first year, you know, it was new for me. It was new for Coach Tejas. There was a lot of newness, and so I think it definitely took us a minute to find our groove. But each year since then, the team chemistry has just been increasing. And this year, I think that all the girls get along really well, and we are more playing for each other. Mm-hmm. And not so much for ourselves. You know, when I go up to bat, I'm not thinking about my personal batting average or, you know, what I'm hitting for the day. I'm thinking, okay, what does my team need in this situation? It's like if I get out but I move a runner, or if I score a runner or something, like, that is as great as a grand slam in my brain, you know, just doing what my team needs me to do at the plate in that moment.
You love the selfless side of it. You're 6-for-12 for the weekend. You're batting over 300, just so you know. But, Coach, when you see a player like Sophie step up, too, and Breck, too, a leader, and two seniors that have been here and really playing their best softball as they do get older, that has to be pretty fun to see.
Yeah, it is really fun to see. And I will say, you know, Soph, I think, on Saturday had an opportunity to lay down a sacrifice bunt. She wasn't the only one that didn't get it down, but she took that to heart, because Sunday morning, the first thing she said to me at batting practice was, I'm bunting. I'm bunting for, like, 3 rounds. And it's cool to see, you know, that, you know, somebody who is a senior, who has been able to, you know, generate home runs and power for us, can take a step back and say, this is important. And that's really cool to see. Yeah, Breck just gets a little crazy sometimes out there. We just have to rein her back in, you know, and say, okay, we just need to throw strikes and we're okay.
What's going through your mind as 6 walks is probably more than you want to see, but then she has a career high with 14 strikeouts.
But like she says it herself, you know, she gets really amped up. And the moment that she can't control her energy is when we get crazy. And we just say, okay, mechanics, you know, let's land our foot, let's do all those things, and we're fine. But the confidence in her to just say, yeah, you're right, you're right, I can rein it back in and be okay, it's fun to watch.
Part of you as a pitcher has to like that you're a little bit energetic, little wild thing, right?
No, that's what my teammates were saying. They were like, you were kind of unpredictable, so they were swinging at everything because they didn't know if it was going to be a ball or strike. But yeah, and you know, it was first home game, senior season, you know, all that fun stuff, so we got that out of the way, you know, and now I know to just relax, take a little deep breath, and
if you're going to be that wild, you might as well put a couple in the, you know, the backside of a couple of plays. Just get them off the plate, you know,
save the pitches. Yeah,
exactly. No. Coach Sophie, also, you mentioned Sunday morning, first thing, went out and was putting on bunts, right? Mm-hmm. And then she proceeds to hit 2 bombs.
Yeah, I was like, okay, great. Well, you know, it's working. And you know, we kind of knew what pitchers we were facing that day. So I asked them, you know, you want me to mix in some down balls? Because they're like, yep, mix it up. And she was seeing it well. And I was like, all right. And puts 2 over the fence. And I was like, good for you.
So Sophie, every Sunday morning, or I guess before the Saturday morning, maybe for the day two, get some bunts in.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to be bombs later, right?
Exactly. That's what I got to do.
What do you prefer, pitches low in the zone? What were you seeing particularly that day?
Honestly, I go up there with a plan, and my plan is a little different based on the pitcher. So I'm usually hitting somewhere around the middle of the lineup. So I really pay attention to those hitters before me and try to look for patterns in, like, pitch calling. And if I think that the pitcher is pounding the inside, then I'm going to be like, okay, I'm only going to swing at the inside, of course, unless I have two strikes. But if she's throwing outside, I'm like, okay, I'll crowd the plate a little bit. I'll hit the outside. And so I noticed that, you know, she was going down and out a little bit, so I crowded the plate a little bit, and yeah, I was just looking for my pitch.
How much do you enjoy that chess match too, of you're doing that, then some pitchers will see what you're doing and they're gonna work you back the other way and kind of threaten at bat?
You know, I try not to crowd the plate too much or back off the plate too much to where it's noticeable to, like, the catcher or the coach, whoever's calling pitches. But yeah, when they do that, I have to kind of rework my plan a little bit up the plate, and just I really focus on the release point, you know, out of the hand. And if it's a pitch that I like, I just go after it.
Pitchers batting practice early today, correct?
Yes.
Which only happens after shutouts, right, Coach?
Yep, but Hayden threw one last week, so then that was like today's. And then her and Olivia threw one yesterday or on Sunday, so now we get to do it again.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be tomorrow, or are we going to space it out a little bit?
I don't know. We'll see. They could be sore. They were cranking home runs.
So, Brett, how many home runs did you hit?
I don't know. Maybe three. Hey, I'll take that.
Like, are you thinking tape measure shots to where you can go back and talk to Sophie later and let her know?
No. But, no, it's just fun to swing because, I haven't, swinged in a long time. Swing. Anyway, so it's just something fun for us to do because we watch them do it all day. And it does humble us because it reminds us it's kind of hard when it's not right there in the zone. So, yeah.
Who throws that pitcher's BP?
Coach Hunter.
Our assistant
Coach
did
Landon,
today.
Yeah.
You never let, like, Sophie, like, all right, well, you can go out and pitch this time.
Yeah.
And it mixed up a little bit.
Could you imagine?
That'd
be
stressful.
Bearcats back home this week in Minnesota State, Moorhead and Bemidji State. And Moorhead starting things off, a team that's 8-6. And, again, a middle-of-the-pack NSIC team. We've seen how the Bearcats are playing now. This feels like, all right, let's keep stacking wins.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and I think we're catching them on the back end of their spring break trip. But for us, you know, we're going to attack it just like any other conference game. Go out there, throw who we need to throw, and hopefully our bats still kind of keep rolling.
It is spring break right now at Northwest Missouri State. Is there any time off? Is it practice every day, or how do things change for your schedule?
We had Monday off, and now we just practice midday, hang out the rest of the day.
Just enjoy life.
Feed them.
Bearcats softball back at home this weekend. There'll be a Saturday matchup, noon and 2 against Minnesota State. Moorhead, noon and 2 on Sunday against Bemidji State. Coach Sophie Breck, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Northwest Missouri State softball with us. That is head coach Naomi Tejez and seniors Breck Tickey and Sophie Mayhew. That's going to wrap things up for us here on the KXCV Maryville, KRN W Chillicothe Coach's Show. For John Coffey, I'm Matt Tritton saying so long from the Palms.